The time is 1:39. Present today are Representatives Clarkson, Son, Petty, John Phillips, and Chairman Mike Miller. We have only one bill on the agenda for today. That is House Bill 170, which is an act relating to land surveys. The prime sponsor is Representative Pokanen, who is, we are on teleconference network. As far as I know, there are several people to testify from Anchorage, but I'm not aware of any other locations that will be testifying at the present time. We do have a couple of people here locally that also want to testify. I think what the plan will be to hear from the prime sponsor first, to have him explain the bill and the need for it as he sees it, and then we'll go immediately to Anchorage and hear at least a couple of people testify there, and then we'll have testimony by a couple of people here in Juneau, and then we'll switch back to Anchorage before we close off. If it should happen to get rather drawn out, and it looks like we're not going to be able to hear everybody this afternoon, which I don't anticipate would be the case, but if it should happen that way, we'll probably hear all the people standing by on the networks out of town, and then hear the local people here later. But I think we probably should be able to hear everybody without any great amount of problem. With that, Mr. Representative Copeland, if you join us at the table, we'd appreciate your explaining the bill to us and what it does and why we should just pass it out.
Thank you. I'm Representative Milo Copeland, Representative District 21, West of Fairbanks. I'm the prime sponsor of House Bill 170. 170 deals with surveying and recording of survey monuments, and is really a matter that has been coming along since statehood, essentially. One of the things that we never quite did do was to develop an adequate system of recording surveys in the state, which has been increasingly growing property rights into question and confusing matters. By and large, currently we record many surveys in municipalities. The municipalities, the boroughs, typically will only record a subdivision. So if you take a homestead and divide it, let's say, into 40-acre plots, those particular surveys are not recorded. The survey record remains with the surveyor. The company may go out of business. The monument record may be unavailable. And part of it deals with the access to monuments, which are, as the gentlemen know, legal descriptors of land and the boundaries of land. And essentially, a land survey, a registered land survey, and putting one in place and recording it properly is acting almost as an agent of the state, or I would say not almost, but actually as an agent of the state, because he's creating a legal document, a legal descriptor. If a piece of property is to be defined, found, for that matter, or to be further surveyed or subdivided, access to that monument has to be gotten. Typically, of course, survey lines will run along the boundaries of various parcels of land. So any access to monumentation typically falls into the effect, the necessity of crossing several plots of land. In other words, defining the boundaries. If one landowner decides to claim the monument, which is not a piece of private property, but deny access to it, he is also endangering the property rights of the other landowners whose property is dependent on the description based from that survey. Likewise, if the monument is destroyed, it can throw a whole series of surveys, land titles, into quite a cloud. I know, for instance, Nome, the great argument, they've never really adopted, I guess, a flat, person can build his house and what is to another person in the middle of the street, depending which particular description you're going by. And even in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, which has a fairly good system, we have pieces of property that essentially have no legal existence. They are there, but they can't be bought or sold or anything done to because the records have been lost and the descriptors themselves have been destroyed. So, the bill in various forms has been suggested in the past. It's never been exactly anybody's real sexy kind of bill, and therefore it didn't get much attention in the years when we had more money and were concentrating on spending it rather than trying to plug holes in our statutes. It does have the, I shouldn't say it just has the support, it has, it was brought in to being because the Society of Professional Engineers, Alaska Society of Professional Land Surveyors, the Alaska Mapping and Surveying Congress, all were beginning to get more than a little rested by the failure of the legislature to act on this matter 25 years after statehood. And they presented me with various suggestions as to the bill. The bill in its current form essentially is the bill as they suggested it. It revises Title 34 to provide for survey records, monument records, and actually defines and limits a surveyor's right to enter land to perform surveys. There is a different version in the Senate. It is not entirely clear. The Senate version was called for written notification to the landholders because if they mean all adjacent and affected landowners, a simple as-built plot plan of one lot can have five adjacent landowners. Survey of a back lot line may have 30 or 40 different landowners who have to be informed. Essentially, you know, we treat these as rights of way, and to have to require a surveyor to notify everyone who lives along a section line that he's going to be walking down that section line when the rest of us don't bother informing them, it seems a little extreme. I think that it does protect the rights of the landowner on actual damages, so that is a protection of, I think it's sufficient.
Mr.
Taylor. Thank you.
Representative, I'm concerned about a couple things. When it comes to actually running a survey, oftentimes in to even be able to brush out a line and run the survey, you're going to have to cut down some trees and some brush and other things to do so. How do you feel that would be affected or approached when we talk about right of access to land for purposes of doing a survey? Would the surveyor, as an example, have the right to come on to, say, my property or someone else's and along the line brush the line out, cut down obstacles and trees that might be in his way to shoot a line?
I did raise that question with the surveyors. We do have Seth Kellen, who is a member of the society here. They are responsible for actual damages, and that would mean if they cut down a particularly scenic or useful tree, they'd have to pay the full cost of taking it out. So I believe that they would cut as little as possible. This is only, of course, for property surveys. This is not right-of-way surveys, for example, which most people object to. Rightly, but it's interesting, we do have already in statute the right of the DOT to enter property for right-of-way surveys, and they're the ones who create all the havoc.
That's true. If I might follow up,
yeah, go ahead.
Chairman, on page 2, section C, you state, a person or agency whose activities will disturb or destroy a monument or its accessories shall have a land surveyor, and then it lists that he's got to file a monument, restore and replace, file a new monument record. I really want to applaud you for that one because both DOT and the various municipalities in the state, whenever they go to widen or build a road, have a tendency to drive in there, destroy all of the monuments, put their road and their sidewalk in, and then turn to the landowner and give them some pittance for compensation for taking 10 feet or 2 feet or whatever their front yard, and forget all about the fact that they destroyed a whole batch of monuments in the process. And from my reading of this, this would require those cities to go in and replace those monuments and put them back so people's surveys could still be useful to them. Am I reading that correctly? Is that what's intended?
That's the intent. My own experience with DOT was much the same. Fortunately, they didn't destroy the corner marker. They went very near it. But the next corner over, of course, is right in the middle of Chena Ridge Road now, and that was replaced by private landowners who had to pay for a survey, and DOT did not. You're absolutely right.
Mr. Phillips had a question.
Yeah, well, maybe I can get a legal opinion or whatever from staff here. Would agency include municipalities or just state agencies? I think we might have to put a person, agency, or municipalities, if that's the intended sponsor. So I think if that's needed, maybe later on today or whenever we can pass bill out, consider an amendment to that effect.
Good point. Do we have more questions for Mr. Copeland? I'm very anxious to hear from the people who want to testify, and I presume you'll be standing by to answer any additional questions, or do you have elsewhere to go?
I was just going to comment. I wouldn't want to add that particular amendment necessarily at this point, because I don't want to get the municipal. I think it's more important to set up a good surveying system, and then we can refine it later. Thank you.
Mr. Greenberg?
Okay. Yes. I apologize, I'm not doing very well here. The one section I heard Representative, I got my mark. This is Max Gruenberg. The one question that Representative Taylor asked that caught my mind was the one on damages. Okay, well, where is that in here, sir?
Line 21.
Okay. Now, there that may have an effect of changing a present law, and that is AS09.45.730, trespass by cutting or injuring trees or shrubs. A person who cuts down, girdles, or otherwise injures or carries off a tree, timber, or shrub on the land of another person, or on the street or highway in front of the person's house, or of a village, town, or city lot or cultivated grounds, or on the commons or public grounds of a village, town, or city, or on the street or highway in front of them, without lawful authority, is liable to the owner of that land or to the village, town, or city for treble the amount of damages which may be assessed in a civil action. However, if the trespass was casual or involuntary, or if the defendant had probable cause to believe that the land on which the trespass was committed was defendant's own, or that of the person in whose service or by whose direction the act was done, or where the timber was taken from unenclosed woodland for the purpose of repairing a public highway or bridge upon the land, or adjoining it, only actual damages may be recovered. And there is, there are some cases that have been litigated involving the measure of damages under this section. The basis for damages, and this is one of the cases, Anderson versus Edwards, that are to be trebled under this section, or presumably if it wasn't trebled, then it would be awardable, represent not merely the value of the timber cut, but damages to the freehold as well. And one question would be here, if there's a cutting by a surveyor, and damages as a result. Is it the cost of replacing the trees, what the value of those trees would be, or is it a diminution in the value of the land itself? And I'm just simply raising this as an issue, and I'm wondering if the sponsor has any thoughts on what the intent of the language here is.
Well, as you point out, that section has treble damages for essentially willful entry and trespass. It may, in fact, in the case of timber, amount to theft of timber, and only actual damages for rightful entry. And essentially, this bill is defining one of the causes, legal causes of entry, but it still means actual damages. And I think it could be considered in both ways. That is, if you're cutting down a scenic tree, obviously you're diminishing the value of the lot. Down here, if you go and cut a fairly wide swath through the woods, you're taking out a fair amount of valuable timber, and you might have to pay so much stumpage in addition to it. I think, you know, that sort of thing would be avoided with because it is the actual damage. And I have never seen a way that we could write an ordinance or a statute where we could define it without further controversy in its application or even the particular situation.
My recollection from law school is that the tour.
We've got people standing by in Anchorage. Just as soon if we could continue this discussion, which is valuable and we need to do, but after we've heard the witnesses.
I think in your backup bill, you have copies of the statutes, which are similar from all of the western states, which deal with the same thing. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Copeland. I think we'll switch now to Anchorage, and at least on the list I have, the first two people I have listed are Joe Birch and Bob Keene. If that doesn't happen to be the way that the moderator has them lined up there, that it doesn't make any difference. But we'll hear two people from Anchorage at this time. Are you with us up there, Anchorage?
Yes, this is Joe Birch.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Birch. Go ahead with your testimony.
Concerning House Bill 170, the Department of Natural Resources is in favor of it. We currently do record all plats, and via our platting mechanism for state surveys, it includes monuments which we have replaced. And it's already a normal part of our business. The impact of the state recorder's office, which would be receiving the documents filed by the surveyors, we feel is negligible and in fact may bring in an assumed amount of revenue each year. We'd simply estimated maybe 500 documents at $8 each, which would be approximately $4,000. We have no objections to the bill.
Okay, do any members of the committee have questions they'd like to ask of Mr. Birch? Okay, Mr. Birch, we thank you very much for your comments. Could we hear the next witness from Anchorage, please?
In Anchorage, we have the three members representing the three professional societies in Alaska, Mr. Bob Keene representing the Anchorage chapter of the Alaska Society of Professional Land Surveyors, Mr. Bob Schweitzer representing the Alaska section of the American Society of Photogrammetry, and myself, Warren Latvala, representing the Alaska section of the American Congress on Surveying and Mapping. It was the joint committee of these three societies that prepared proposed legislation that Representative Copeland has introduced. We will each say a little bit about the bill and then would be happy to respond to any questions you may have. Starting off will be Bob Keene with the Alaska Society of Professional Land Surveyors.
Can you hear me from over here?
Yes, we hear you fine. Thank you very much, Mr. Keene.
I'm Bob Keene with the Anchorage chapter of the Alaska Society of Professional Land Surveyors. In our meeting in December, we had a 100% approval for this bill. The impetus towards the bill was the very specter of the treble damages that is occurring. Basically, without this bill, the surveyor is in trespass and is liable to these types of damages. The second impetus toward it was the fact that there are certain groups within the state that are currently
charging surveyors to enter, for example, USGS monuments on their lands to perform their basic functions. And I'll be getting a box placer right now.
I'm Bob Schweitzer. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can, Mr. Schweitzer. Thank you.
I'm representing American Society of Photogrammetry, Alaska Region. We have some 53 members in Alaska, and basically we have unanimous approval of this House bill as written. We find the bill is a great concern to us because so much of the work that we do must be tied to specific positions on the ground, known locations. Consequently, when we have survey monuments, particularly those that have been established by government agencies that we do not have right of access to, it makes our work more difficult and consequently considerably more expensive to the users of our products. We're also greatly in favor of recordation, as it, in the long term, will provide great cost savings, again, to users of our products.
This is Warren Lazo again, representing the American Congress on Surveying and Mapping Alaska Section. I'll address both of the specific parts of the bill. First, the right of entry. As Alaska develops, a number of monuments that were originally established at public expense, primarily geodetic control monuments and section corners, quarter corners, and township and range monuments, were established at public expense by agencies of the federal or state government. As Alaska develops, a landowner may be opposed to something that his neighbor may propose doing, which might be something completely lawful, such as subdividing a quarter section of land or an offshore activity that may require use of a geodetic control monument that's onshore. Without a right of entry, a landowner can effectively not only stop work on his property, but he can stop any work that his neighbor or neighbors may desire to pursue on their property. And we don't feel that this is right since these monuments were originally established at public expense. The second part of the bill, the record of survey, again, is something that's going to help the public. If survey monuments are destroyed by whatever activity right now, one landowner may pay to have that monument reestablished. If it lies, however, outside of a municipality or other government agency that has recordation requirements, there may be no record of that. And at a future date, another landowner may decide to do something requiring a survey. If there is no public record of that monument being established, the second landowner may again have to pay for an entire resurvey to do something that's already been performed. This is mainly a record-keeping bill that will eliminate that unnecessary and repetitive cost to landowners and will also reduce the number of disputes on property boundaries and survey monuments because there will be a full, adequate public record of work that has been performed. At the section meeting, which there are some 200 members of the American Congress on Surveying and Mapping in Alaska, at the section meeting where this bill was introduced, we had unanimous approval of those members for this legislation. We would be happy to respond to any questions that you may have.
Do members of the committee have questions? I guess I've got one just to start things off. I believe you mentioned to begin with that some people were actually charging surveyors to come onto their land. That's the first time I'd ever heard of such a thing. Is that really very widespread, or is it just something that somebody else, that somebody just thinks of, you know, every once in a while?
It's something that has only been thought of once or twice, say a year ago, but it is becoming more widespread. Several surveying firms throughout the state have encountered that over the past 2 years.
I guess I have another question too. I'm very sympathetic with your problem, and I can see why you definitely need a solution. I don't see anything in the bill, although maybe I've missed it, that require somebody given some sort of notice. I can envision some situations where a property owner might, for legitimate reasons, just assume somebody didn't come on their property, today or tomorrow or on a week from next Thursday because of, reasons that have nothing to do with the survey. It seems to be perhaps the simple expedient of at least notifying property owners that you were going to come on, come on their property. A requirement in that direction might be reasonable. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, this bill for right of entry is aimed primarily at the non-urban areas of the state. In the urban areas, there is a fairly complete knowledge by the public of what a surveyor is doing. And this has been handled without any problem in the urban areas. If one landowner is going to sell his home and his lot, the bank requires an as-built survey. Generally, the surveyor just goes down the street knocking on the doors of the people whose property he would like to enter and tells them, I'm doing a survey for your neighbor and I'll be back by your fence line. And it's just to notify the people so they don't think that it's some stranger with some illegal intent. It is a surveyor working there. The intent of this bill is more to deal with the non-urban areas, or in some cases, urban areas where development has occurred and property has been subdivided and a geodetic control monument, say, may wind up being in somebody's lot. So those are the type cases that we need this bill for. It's not to allow unlimited trespass in the urban areas. That's why we didn't have any notice or any provision for advance notice. The Senate Bill 135 does have that requirement for advance notice as it was introduced, and we have very deep division amongst the surveying community as to whether we would like to see something passed with advance notice or possibly no bill at all. We don't want to create a problem where no problem presently exists in the urban area, and the advance notice, I think, would create a problem where none exists now.
Mr. Gruenberg has a question in this regard.
My question is for any of the Anchorage witnesses, or really anybody. Is it a crime to destroy a boundary marker?
It's a crime only for landmarkers established by agencies of the federal government, so far as I know. However, the fine for that, I believe, is $100 in most instances, or up to $250. Frequently, the cost of resurveying to replace that monument can run, say, 10 times that amount.
Mr. Gruenberg?
Would it be advisable to make it a similar crime under state law with maybe a little higher penalty?
I believe that probably would be in the public's interest. However, we have not found, I speak representing the surveying community, we have not found that to be a great problem other than in the urban areas, and then it's not private citizens, it's generally the folks you were talking about earlier who are building a new road or a pipeline or something. And they'll wipe out a bunch of people's monuments, and then the landowner is left with the cost of replacing those. The part of this recordation bill requiring that those monuments be referenced prior to construction or destruction and then replaced will relieve the public of having to pay for the problems caused by a utility. I don't know if the professional societies would recommend a fine for that or not. I think the legislature should consider that.
Thank you.
Do we have further questions of the Anchorage witnesses by any members of the committee? I guess we don't. I'll tell you, we'll leave the teleconference on so that if you all want to stick around and hear the balance of the meeting, and later on we might have some additional questions for you too. Hold on 1 second. Perhaps Mr. Phillips has a question.
Well, no. Why don't you ask if there's any more witnesses?
Okay. Yeah, Mr. Phillips asked a good question. Is there anybody else in Anchorage, or for that matter elsewhere on the network, that have witnesses that want to testify? Okay, I'm assuming from that silence that there's nobody else on the network that wants to testify. Could we have our first witness here, from Juneau? Phil or Pat, whichever one of you wants to be first.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Phil Holdsworth. I'm testifying primarily for myself today as a professional land surveyor in Alaska, but I also testifying on behalf of the Alaska Miners Association, who are interested in recording monuments and recovering them and so on. We're very much in favor of this bill, and I would like to make a comment in regard to Representative Greenberg's question about Title IX. I believe that says entry not authorized by law. Now this act would actually authorize it, so it removes, I think, that conflict. I had the experience several years ago in recovering 22 monuments of the old town site survey of McCarthy, which were done in 1911. And when they built the town site, after they built the town site, they paid no attention to those monuments, and they built the roads wherever they might fit the terrain. And when the state built that new field, airfield in McCarthy, they tried to find those monuments as a point of tie-in in their survey for the field. Well, I was doing some mineral exploration in the area, and so they asked me if I could find those monuments. And using a very sensitive magnetometer instrument, which we use for mineral surveys, I did pick up one of the monuments, and then with a transit in a chain, I recovered 22 monuments, and found out that all the houses were halfway out in the streets, according to this old plat. And I filed that. That has been filed and recorded so that it's a permanent record. And these are the sort of things that are real important for subsequent surveys throughout the state. One other item I'd like to mention, and that is, when we first started on this legislation here a couple of years ago, through Representative Kopanen, the state, and the state didn't give such testimony today, but I know in the Glen Allen area, when they tried to go out and enter some of these small tracts to tie a survey on for an extension, they were met with firearms. They wouldn't let them aboard. So it's very important that this piece of legislation be passed.
Just out of curiosity, that was individual property owners that met him with firearms?
Yes.
I believe Mr. Taylor has a question.
Yes, Phil, thank you for your good comments. My question is, are there old plats and old surveys which have not been filed because there was no place to file them, existent, that could be filed? In essence, the way the bill talks, it talks to the future about as places are surveyed, they would then be recorded, and those monuments would then be of record and then would come under the bill. I'm wondering if the old surveys that are out there that haven't been filed could be filed, so that we don't, in essence, we'd have to have a resurvey of practically everything to make it come under this act. And it would be my hope that the old surveys could be filed so that people's land, where there's an old BLM monument or some other monument on the land, that could be made of record so as to come under the act. Could you address that for me, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Taylor. House Bill 244, which is before you this session, it hasn't got here to your committee yet. Maybe it has, yes, it was introduced on the February 27th and comes to judiciary. Was proposed by the Code Revision Commission. And that does exactly that. It would provide that all surveys would be recorded. They would be recorded with the Department of Natural Resources in a central computerized And that computerized information then would be distributed to all their field offices so that a surveyor in any part of Alaska could go in and get those field notes. And you'd have records there available to start out instead of having to come into a central place like Anchorage. And that is a very comprehensive act. And I think if you would look at your present bill, 170, in relation to that, it might answer some of your questions.
That raises a quick question. Is there any, are we causing any problem by dealing with this bill and then dealing with the other bill later, or no. Are they sufficiently compatible that they don't overlap even though they complement each other?
They do not overlap, no.
Okay, good. That's reassuring. Anybody else have any questions for Mr. Holdsworth? Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Holdsworth. Mr. Callan, do you want to testify, please?
Thank you. My name is Patrick Callan. I'm the Chairman of Legislative Affairs for the Alaska Association of Professional Land Surveyors. The gentleman that you're talking to from Anchorage have been invaluable in helping the societies get this program for you. I'd like to make a couple of comments on the bill, and I think first I'll mention records of monuments and why we think they're important. As you're aware, we had a bill in last year, House Bill 387, and looking for monument records. Most Western states have monument records. We're kind of one of the tail-end Charlie states kind of catching up with everybody. California, for instance, has had monument records since 1934. Essentially, the purpose of monument records is to aid in preserving and protecting the monuments that are the base for figuring out where your people's property boundaries are. It's especially germane to the quarter and section corners. We have other monuments mentioned, but the section and quarter corners are the most important. For your information, some states restrict their monument records to just section and quarter corners. We think it's important to look at all controlling corners, which is why you see a list of other monuments in here. Now, I heard a comment a little bit ago about what's the problem with the destruction of a monument. And it's an excellent question. Of course, my opinion is that the willful destruction of a monument is simply a civil matter between... Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, one of our favorite agencies, it is the commonest offender in the loss of monument positions. Sometimes they didn't mean to create a ruckus, but I've got an example that you should think about. It's out in a place in Fairbanks called Chena Hot Springs Road. Department of Transportation dug up a section corner in the course of rebuilding the highway out there. Some time elapsed before they put the corner back. When they put the corner back, several surveyors came in and used the section corner and did some subdividing in a section north of Chena Hot Springs Road. However, another surveyor working out there who had already subdivided in another section said, "Hey, this isn't where it was before. This is in the wrong place." He started an argument with DOT, sent them three letters, and told them to that he didn't agree with their monument position, and something had happened. They got lost. Well, they eventually sorted it out and moved the monument back to very close to where the private surveyor who objected thought that it was. Problem was, a couple other surveyors had already come in and subdivided the section with the 10 feet moved into a different place. Now, I can't think of a clearer example for why the agency should come in and pick up the monument, file a monument record before they start construction, before they rip it out of the ground. Than any other surveyor coming in to work off of it, even if the monument was gone, could use the monument records and the references set by it to continue to survey in the area, even though the monument was physically removed because of construction going on. When construction is complete, we'd anticipate that an agency like DOT would have to reinstall the monument and file a new record so that everybody knew that that construction wasn't going on, now the monument's back in place. Of course, we don't restrict this just to DOT. I just want to call your attention to the fact that in the majority of cases, that will be the agency that will be affected by that little provision of having to file a monument record when construction is imminent. I think that this is kind of an obscure, technical, non-controversial thing that you shouldn't really have any problem with passing through the legislature, and time is long overdue for it. The next subject I'd like to comment on is the records of surveys. Records of surveys are somewhat different than records of monuments. If I didn't say it before, the record of monument is something that's filed on a simple 8.5 by 11 form with little squares for you to fill in. Most of the work's already done for you. You put a little sketch in of how the monument went and what section of township it was in. But a record of survey is a plaque, is an actual depiction of what you did in the course of a survey. For your information, you cannot, in many jurisdictions, in most jurisdictions, you cannot record a survey unless your survey is of an approved subdivision plat. In the unorganized borough of the state, in general, where Joe Birch has jurisdiction, no problem, the state has his file records of surveys. All are open to entry surveys. Remote parcel surveys are very similar to what we're looking at in a record of survey. Once you get within the borough, however, the recorder's office will not accept a survey plat unless it has been approved by the borough. The borough will not approve of your plat unless it is a subdivision of land. Now, this isn't an awful lot of plats. Very frequent, in the majority of cases, when I'm personally called to do a survey, I am replatting, I am subdividing, but not always. Sometimes all you're doing is finding out where somebody's boundaries are. They have 40 acres and they're having a dispute with their neighbor and they want to know where the boundary is. So you go out and break the section down for them, set their corners. Can you record that plat? The borough doesn't want to look at it. It's not a subdivision. They're not interested in looking at it. That's Fairbanks North Star Borough. There are exceptions. Some boroughs have provisions for records of survey. Some don't. For uniformity, we'd hope the state would adopt this so that we don't have the problem of sometimes you can, sometimes you can't file a record of your survey. One example that I might mention that Phil would be familiar with, it would be a mineral survey. If you had a mineral survey that was somewhat dilapidated and you went out and retraced the boundaries, found out where all the monuments were, put new ones in where they were missing, you still, unless you have created a new subdivision, have something that exists only in your files. There's a state senator here who has a considerable concern. Not 3 weeks ago, he called me up to do a survey for him, and come to find that the survey that was done in Nenana had been done by not as a subdivision survey. It was questionable what jurisdiction it should be in, and the state never saw the plat. The city of Nenana isn't as well organized in a platting direction, so the bottom line was that in order to do this survey, I had to see the plat, and the plat couldn't be produced because it was residing in a company that went bankrupt and whose records are in litigation right now. Someday those plats will be released when the court decides who gets the survey record, but in the meantime, there's a survey plat that if the private property owner, in this case the state senator, if he can't find his copy of the plat, he's out of luck. The survey record, filing of a survey record, of course, would have alleviated that situation. I had another little example that gave me a tremendous heartburn. Some 6 or 7 years ago, I was doing a survey down in Dillingham. The block that I had to retrace had been recently retraced by an Anchorage land surveyor, and I needed a copy of his plat. I should have been able to go down to the recording office in Dillingham and pick one up, but since it didn't need to be recorded or wasn't required to be recorded, the only place I could get one, the only way I could get one would be either to go to Anchorage and ask Fred Walotka to give me a copy of his plat, which he would have. Most surveyors are quite willing to supply copies of their plats to surveyors who request them. In fact, you may hear along the line that you don't need survey records because the surveyor will always be glad to give you a copy of his plat. But what I had to do, since I was stuck in Dillingham, is pay for a copy of the plat from the guy who executed the survey. He said he paid $2,000 to do that survey, and by golly, that was his plat, and anybody who wanted to see it, they were going to have to pay him to look at it. And I could sympathize. Surveys are quite expensive, $1,000, $2,000 a day, and many people feel once they've had a survey done that they own the information. If you make it a matter of law, of course, then we would have be able to explain to our clients that regardless of how much it costs for them to do the survey belongs to everybody around them as well as to them. Before I address anything on right of entry, I'd like to see if anything that I just brought to you raised any further questions on records of monuments or records of surveys. Max?
Go ahead, Mr. Hendrick.
I don't see anything in here that says that one request a survey. Thank you. I don't see any, this is Max Gruber. I don't see anything in here that says that upon request a surveyor or an owner of the survey must show the survey to any reasonable person requesting. I see that it should be filed of record, but nothing directly requiring them. So in other words, if it's recorded elsewhere, you'd have to go to the recording office and get it. You wouldn't have a right to get it directly. Is that what you were?
That's correct. Of course, Dillingham has a recording office, and many things, most deeds, or all deeds that they do down there, wind up going right down to their recorder's office, but plats don't, because there's not a provision for filing a record of a survey. If the thrust of your question is, should this guy have had to give me a copy of his plat, and say, well, no. I think that would be unreasonable to expect that somebody would have to furnish from on his time and out of his own personal records his copy of a plat. That isn't what I want anyway. Something might have happened to it. I want the one that's at the recorder's office, so I know that it's what the surveyor filed.
Thank you.
We have further questions from members of the committee? Mr. Kellen, go ahead.
Okay, it would appear that our records of surveys and our records of monuments is a relatively non-controversial portion of the legislation. It's also the meat of it. It's what we're really looking for. We also had a meeting of the Fairbanks chapter of the Society, and I got overwhelming endorsement for records of monuments. I did have some concern, was expressed by some members about the mandatory filing potentially running up their fees. You may hear about that down the line, that some surveyors are afraid of the increased costs of doing business for having to file survey records. I personally have a hard time seeing the extra expense in my office because of the standards to which we execute plats. I mean, I already have a plat that I consider to be suitable for filing, and the trip to the recorder's office and the $8 filing fee is my biggest expense, maybe. But anyway, you should be aware that there are some surveyors that are concerned about being forced to file records of surveys. I think they're very definitely a minority of surveyors in the state, and my opinion would be that they're probably the very few surveyors that we're trying to protect the rest of us from. Now, I'd like to go into the right of entry. This is, as I've said, what we consider to be a relatively minor portion of a bill that essentially deals with records of surveys and records of monuments. There's been a considerable amount of discussion on the right of entry just by attaching it to the survey records. It's surprising, and in many times when we have to discuss this bill, we find a lot of our attention diverted to a right of entry. Many surveyors have the opinion that the right of entry is something that is already existent under the common law. For instance, if I was in the middle of doing a survey for you and was obstructed from occupying or searching around a position that was owned by you and three other people by one of the people that was supposedly owned that monument, he would probably have to pay for the extra time. He would undoubtedly, if once I'd gone back to you and told you I was obstructed from doing the survey and couldn't finish it, you'd ask for a court injunction. I think I'm correct in stating the court would direct that the survey go ahead. That is, that one property owner could not prevent his adjoiner from finding out where his boundary is. What's different under this law, as opposed to what we have under the common law, is the step of stopping the survey, going to get your client having him go to a lawyer, file an injunction, and have a judge get into the case and then issue an injunction. Instead, we're in a situation where we'd be in a very similar situation with the federal government has had in other western states when they've been obstructed from getting monuments. They would go to the U.S. Marshal to be allowed to complete or to continue the survey. The situation where this would arise is, I think, extremely rare. I don't know of a specific case where the surveyor has been absolutely stopped from doing a survey. What I do know is they've been impeded and slowed down in the middle of the survey. I do know of cases where rental to get to a monument has been asked for. I think that the treble damages is a serious problem. Although generally in the access to monuments, we have the minimum of problems in the urban areas where the bulk of the surveys take place. That's precisely the area that the treble damages comes up more often. I think probably because there's a higher lawyer population in those areas, and they really keep sharp eye out for potential treble damages situations. The problem on right of entry that hits us the worst is when we think in terms of what reasonable notice and what constitutes reasonable notice. You mentioned that, Mike, that you thought that maybe we ought to be thinking about something in the way of reasonable notice. It gives surveyors the willies to even think about. I could draw you a plat of a typical retracement, some of them that I've gone through, where I was working down a back lot line, and I started out surveying one piece of property, and one of its corners is missing. But I don't know that corner is missing until I get to the survey. Once I find that corner is missing, I go further down the back lot line looking for the next corner. That may be missing too. In fact, in an older survey, you may go 7, 8, 9, 10 property corners in a row, finding the property corners are missing until you finally find one. And I had another one that I rebuilt also in Dillingham that was in that situation where with some 20 property corners on a long interior block line, I found three of them, and from three of them for rebuilt the entire block. There was over 20 different property owners involved in that survey, and I didn't know how many of them I was going to be stepping on the lots of until I was actually out there looking for monuments. This is the crux of the problem that we have if we're looking at a written notice to a landowner 72 hours in advance of commencing a survey, which is what the Senate version calls for. The chances that most surveyors would comply with a law such as that are remote, beyond belief. They would probably continue to do surveys the same way as they do right now. Now, the rural surveys are ones where you actually are more likely to get really obstructed from doing a survey. And you have way fewer property owners involved. I don't know how you want to think about it, but if I'm doing a rural survey, rather than going down this lot line and looking at stepping on 20 or 30 different private property owners, I may far more likely be faced with the situation with this landlocked monument that I have to get to somehow or another, but the only way I can get to it is on this old cat trail that you can see that people use all the time, but you don't know if it's legal for you to use it. Frequently, these control monuments are set up on a top of a hill, surrounded, increasingly surrounded by private property.
Not to interrupt you, but
if I could just ask a question here, I think if we could just ask you questions, I think we all pretty well understand the bill here and move on from this point here, if we could, Mr. Chairman.
I think the committee, unless they do have questions, is ready to consider the bill. And right. So if there's no objection to that, Mr. Taylor?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would move the bill on the condition that the amendment that we've been shown be added to it. That amendment appears to me to be a very reasonable one, and what kind of housekeeping, to the extent that it picks up geodetic control monuments as an additional provision of protected monuments or survey markers within the definitions.
My apologies, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief, but I'd like to tell you why, what the deal is on this proposed amendment. We originally had proposed this thing without geodetic control monuments simply because the federal government has provision for monument records. It recently come to our attention that due to federal budget cuts, the federal survey record system is going into status and may in fact be ended. So we propose simply to include them as we had in last year's version of the monument records.
Okay. Mr. Taylor proposes that amendment. Mr. Grinberg?
May I inquire just a question of the witness?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay.
Mr. Grinberg.
I note, Mr. Callum, that on page 3, line 3, that a record of survey is not required for a survey made by the BLM. Obviously, the state can't require that. Is it normally the BLM's policy to record their surveys?
Not at the district recorder's office. I've seen a number of people question whether a BLM survey is a survey of record or not. I think the vast majority of surveys consider any survey done by the BLM to be a survey of record, even though it isn't at the district recorder's office, just a different record.
Do you know whether there is a federal statute requiring a BLM survey to be recorded in the local state recorder's office?
Almost certainly not. The BLM's record-keeping system runs completely independent of municipalities, and we see no reason why that shouldn't continue.
You don't see any advantage in suggesting such federal legislation or anything?
No, the federal system works, has been honed for 200 years. I think it works pretty good.
Thank you. I don't know much about this. That's what I'm asking.
Mr. Chairman, if I could ask Representative Taylor regarding his motion, probably to rephrase it as a proposed committee substitute with the amendment.
Yes, Mr. Sun, that's what I intended, is to call it a committee substitute because we are changing through this amendment process a bit of the bill, and we have to call it that. That's my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, the motion is that the mandatory language be placed in the bill in the form of a committee substitute. Before I call a question on that particular motion, let me just ask, is it the consensus of this group that we, at this stage of the game, we're not going to put municipalities in? Was that generally agreed? I know there was a question to Mr. Copener, and he indicated he was not anxious to complicate it by including municipalities, but I thought I'd raise the question. Okay, apparently that is the consensus of the group. The motion is before us whether to include this language and in the form of committee substitute. Is there objection to that? Hearing none, that language is added. Do we have a motion to move the bill? Mm-hmm. Mr. Taylor? Mr. Taylor moves the bill, presumably with individual recommendations. Is there an objection to that motion? Hearing none, the bill is moved. Members, please stick around to sign it. And we thank you all, and we thank you for your consideration and giving us your advice and wisdom in this matter. Thank you. With the meeting, we'll stand adjourned.